Kia ora and welcome to Nerman's Podcast, episode 267. Today is Friday, October 28, 2011. I had to stop and look because I couldn't remember. I've been so busy, I can't even remember what day it is. Although that's not particularly unusual for me. I have been extremely busy. As a matter of fact, I'm so busy I don't even have time to record this. So we'll see how far I get. I might have to stop and redo it or add to it. Or who knows? Who knows? It'll be an adventure. Well, of course, one of the biggest things that has happened in New Zealand since I last recorded was that New Zealand won the Rugby World Cup. And I'm not going to gloat about it. Oh, hell yes, I am. We are the champions. We are the champions. No time for losing, 'cause we are the champions of the world. This isn't the first time, of course, that New Zealand has been a world champion at something or other, and it's probably not, in the overall scheme of things, all that important. I mean, rugby is not the biggest sport in the world, not by a long shot, not even in the Rugby World Cup isn't the biggest sporting event in the world, international sporting event. But it is important because rugby is New Zealand's national sport, and there aren't that many countries that take part in the World Cup that can say that. Pacific Island nations are probably the only other ones. If you talk about Australia, they've got four major sports. They've got rugby, which is actually called rugby union, rugby league, Aussie rules football, and cricket. So they've actually got basketball too, if you want to throw that into the mix. So they don't really have a national sport in the same way that New Zealand does. And that's true for the other rugby playing nations as well. Rugby in some cases is a minority sport, like say Canada and the USA and France and England and places like that. So it's a very big deal to New Zealanders, particularly because we haven't won since 1987, so 24 years without a championship, and the last time it was held in New Zealand, so it was sort of felt we were due, I think. And everybody was behind it. It was a really good feel time, a real feel-good time, or whatever you'd say. And on Monday, this was this past Sunday, and on Monday there was a big parade in Auckland Central, and that, of course, Monday was the Labor Day holiday, so nothing, I mean, schools were closed and work was, most people were off work anyway, so there was, I don't know, I think it was 100,000, 150,000, something or other, turned out to welcome the All Blacks and were carrying the Webb Ellis Cup. And it was a really nice thing. It was a feel-good time. And there was some funniness and stuff, but I'm not going to talk a whole lot about the rugby game itself because I'm frankly not that big a fan of, well, of any sport really, but not rugby either. But there are some things about rugby, about the World Cup that really interested me. There were 20 teams. I've told you this before. And New Zealand is ranked number one in the world. Surprise. But one of the things about it is that one of the teams was the Irish team. And so you saw some Irish flags around, and oh, yep, that's great. But then all of a sudden, you started to see this weird flag. It was all green with these four symbols on it. I thought, what the heck is going on? Well, it turns out it wasn't the team from Ireland. It was the Irish team, because Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland were competing together. And so instead of playing a national anthem, they were playing, was it Call of Ireland or whatever it is, which is a really stirring song if you look it up on iTunes. Actually, if you type World in Union, which is the rugby anthem, you will probably find an album that contains that song. It's really quite stirring. But actually, the rugby hymn theme, whatever you call it, World in Union, is a remarkably stirring song as well. And it's funny because if people heard it out of context and didn't know what it was, they would hear it talks about the world in union. I just think it's funny the way they go union. Anyway, the world in union, and then the final refrain is a new age has begun. And you know, if conservatives ever in the U.S. heard that, they would just think that it was some sort of conspiracy thing or something. I don't know. It's really bizarre, but it's a very stirring hymn. Now, one of the things I hope is going to happen, and I don't have any reason to think it will, is that they'll release a CD of the national anthems that were sung by the New Zealand choir, and I think it was New Zealand Symphony provided the music, I can't remember. They were amazing. They were the best renditions of national anthems I've ever heard. When I watched most of the New Zealand matches, and I think two or maybe three of the USA matches, but when they sang the New Zealand national anthem, it brought tears to my eyes. And of course, I'm a sucker for commercials these days, but it was really beautiful, beautifully done, well done. The people who were part of this special chorus that was put together specifically to sing these national anthems did brilliantly, absolutely brilliantly. And all in all, the whole thing went off without a hitch. So, that's the big news event. Of course, now we are into the campaign season. Now that the Rugby World Cup is over, we're full into campaign mode. And the first of the TV commercials have been released, and I posted them to my blog, and I'll put a link in the show notes. I was originally planning on doing a video podcast or posting YouTube something about these commercials with my commentary and so on. But then I decided it's probably not a good idea to do that until after the election, because I don't want to run afoul of the electoral authorities and stuff. So that's on hold. But the commercials are posted, and along with basically my commentary, and my evaluation of the commercials. Of the three that I've seen so far, Labor's are by far the better. Nationals is just kind of silly. But I will post a link to that. But against this backdrop of this campaign, the government has been having one problem after another. It had a ship run aground, as you know, about a month ago in Tauranga, and it's still there. They've got about nearly half of the oil pumped off finally. The containers have fallen all over the place. It's just a mess. And there's still a lot of questions about why the government didn't act faster. And then there's a major gas pipeline that runs from Taranaki up to Auckland. They usually call it the Maui gas line because it comes from the Maui fields, but it's not just that, apparently. And it ruptured. And there is another one right next to it that's still supplying gas to Auckland. But, actually not just Auckland, but that's the thing that matters. And I don't mean that in the arrogant sense. It's because Auckland is the center of industry and commerce in New Zealand. And if Auckland stumbles, then the entire country goes with it. And what's ended up happening is that dairy companies had to dump milk down the drains because they couldn't process the milk. Cafes and restaurants had to close because they didn't have gas. Bakeries couldn't bake bread, so supermarkets started running out of bread. It's been absolutely a catastrophe, and the government has been kind of playing it down. But, I mean, when it happened, John Key, the prime minister, said, it'll be fixed in 2 or 3 days. And I thought, how often have we heard that this year? So it's been off on the gas. The pipeline still isn't repaired, and it's going to be another 2 or 3 days, they say, before it's fully repaired, although they have allowed some smaller cafes and restaurants and things to reopen. But some of the bigger users are finding ways. There's a 5-star hotel in this area called Ellerslie, which is by a racetrack. And because they didn't have any gas, they didn't have air conditioning, they didn't have hot water, which is kind of a disaster with no hot water for showers. Well, they brought in some portable showers. I mean, this is maybe it's a 4-star, 4 or 5-star, whatever, a luxury hotel, and you've got a shower out in the car parks. This is not a good look. So they figured out a way to they have these tanks to collect and recirculate water for something. I don't know how that works. And they figured out a way to heat it with electricity. So they're going to keep that as a backup for when whenever this happens again, or in case it ever happens again. And some restaurants and cafes have switched to LPG, which is called propane in the U.S., and it's on tanks. And that's what we have, actually, for our cooking and hot water. And so that's certainly an option as well, because LPG is not carried over pipelines. I don't know if you know that, but it's just not, at least not normally. So at least in New Zealand. I don't know if it is in other countries. Anyway, so that's what's going on in the news, and the campaigns are now, as I said, underway. The New Zealand National Party is having its campaign launch event on Sunday, I believe it is, with the Prime Minister and all that. Labor, however, has decided to not have a campaign launch, and the media and conservative commentators are making a big deal out of that because they say that it's a repudiation of the leader, Phil Goff. Well, I don't see it. I didn't think that when I first heard it, and I don't think that now. I think they're kind of trying to create trouble, to be honest, because these are hard, difficult economic times. and wasting money on a big flash campaign launch for no good reason doesn't seem to be a very good use of money or time or any of that sort of stuff. And they say that, you know, you get free TV publicity. Well, they get free TV publicity anyway. Tonight, the opening campaign messages are broadcast on television. So they do get free television time, and they get a last message right before the election as well, their closing broadcast, and that's provided free. So, you know, they do get TV time, and of course they buy commercials and all this other stuff. So, I mean, it's a bit of a nonsense to me. But the John Key, the prime minister, has also pointed out that the photo of Phil Goff, the leader of the Labour Party, is not on any of the party signs. And, of course, John Key's photo is on every party sign. I was going to swear, but... And he said, well, you can't hide if you're prime minister. Well, no, that's true. But strategically, it makes sense because if it was a popularity contest between John Key and anybody, John Key would win. He's immensely popular in New Zealand for some reason. I don't know why, but he is. And Phil Goff is not in that league. And so if he tries to make it about him, then it doesn't help Labour at all. But if they do what they have been doing, which is to focus on policy, then they stand a shot. Now, there are a lot of other things that are going on that may give Labour some hope. In the Epsom electorate, I've talked about this before, the only way that the ACT Party, the neoconservative ACT Party, can get into Parliament is if ex-Auckland Mayor John Banks wins the Epsom electorate. He's now trailing the National Party candidate pretty badly. If he loses Epsom, ACT is out of Parliament. They're polling so low, I think 1.2% or something. So they won't get anybody into Parliament at all on current polling if they lose Epsom, which seems probable at this stage. If that happens, then it starts to change the dynamics. On current polling, National would still form government. But if another conservative party called New Zealand First manages to get into Parliament, that starts to change the dynamics. Because if they decide to side with Labour, the Greens would side with Labour, they would probably have enough seats to form government. So it all starts to get really interesting about now. And I'll talk a bit more about that once they start doing some fresh polling, but they haven't done any fresh polling lately. The first of the leaders' debates is next week, and I will talk about that after that happens, of course. But that's kind of all of the big news that's going on in New Zealand at the moment. The Rugby World Cup started it all off. Now we're into the campaign, and of course this gas leak and all that. Oh, it's just been a mess. But we've had a very busy time as well. I mentioned that Nigel was off Friday of last week and Tuesday of this week. So we had a 5-day holiday weekend. His mom came up on the Sunday before that. So she was here from Sunday to Tuesday of this week. So a very long visit. I think as long as she's ever stayed with us, I'm pretty sure. Although she stayed at Nigel's sister's house for part of that time. So she wasn't with us the whole, 9 days or whatever. She stayed at the sister's, I think, three nights, I think it was. Anyway, but we all ate too much, and some of us may have had a bit too much to drink upon occasion. Possibly. I'm not saying who, but I mean, somebody could have. But I didn't gain a whole lot of weight, so that's a good thing. And so it's starting to settle back into normality, and, that's always a good thing, I guess, sort of. Well, maybe a little bit. And we're starting to gear up toward Christmas, actually, because I'm looking forward to that because Nigel's going to be off for about 2 weeks, I think it is. Something like that. I think it's 2 weeks. Anyway, it's a long time. It's Christmas and New Year's. He's not going back until January. So that'll be good to have a nice long summer break. I don't know if we're going to go away or if we're just going to have stay around the house. We like to do that because, you know, he likes to watch movies, and sometimes I'll play on the computer if I'm not interested in the movie. Just go out for lunch, whatever. We just like to have a nice casual time. But that is what we are up to lately. You may have noticed, if you do listen to farpointradio.com, to the Third Colony on farpointradio.com, that Nigel ended up not doing his show last week. He just, I don't want to say he didn't feel like it, because that's not exactly true. It's just with his mother here, we were just really busy, and it was really difficult to try to fit it in, and so he just decided it would be easier to flag it, so he did. Now, I don't know if that means he's going to do one this week or not. I guess you'll have to watch the tweets to find out. But it's entirely possible, and if so, that would be 9 p.m. Eastern on Saturday in the Americas, which is 2 p.m. Sunday here in New Zealand. And I think I'm actually not sure about that because I don't know when the U.S. changes their clocks. Somebody might want to let me know in a comment or something because I don't remember. of course, we are now coming up to Halloween on, what is that, Monday, I guess it is. And it's a funny thing because I've talked often about how Halloween is not a big deal in New Zealand at all anymore. And then this year, we get the catalog from the warehouse, which is it's a discount chain. It's actually based on Walmart. That's what it's molded on, although more like Walmart it used to be when it was, not when it was founded exactly, but when it wasn't very big. Anyway, on their most recent circular, they had Halloween on the front page, front cover or whatever, and then they had about two or three pages on the inside, which is a big jump from last year when they had like a quarter or a third of a page. And although I haven't noticed many Halloween displays in store, and I've been to two, I think, warehouses so far, and I haven't noticed much, but I did think that was kind of interesting. And they did promote Halloween on their TV commercials this year, which I thought was odd, because they haven't been doing that lately. So I don't know if that means that suddenly Halloween is more of a big deal now than it was. I don't know. I don't know why now, why this year. There's nothing special going on. The only thing I can think is that they're trying to find a way to make some money. I mean, can't blame them for that, I guess. Which, speaking of money, that's actually kind of an interesting thing. There are estimates that the amount of economic activity that's been lost due to this gas leak has wiped out the economic gains from the Rugby World Cup. Now, I find that difficult to believe, personally. I can't see how there could have been that much loss in that short a time to make up for, what the heck was it, like 6 or 8 weeks of the Rugby World Cup period? I don't know, but that's what some people have been saying. Oh, actually, one other thing in the news I didn't talk about. Down in Christchurch, they put together a shopping mall out of shipping crates and shipping containers, sorry, you know, the things that go on ships, and literally shipping containers. And so they put together these little shops and all that, and it's right by, I think it's by Cashel Mall or something, I can't remember. Anyway, the idea basically is to get shops up and running in time for the Christmas season so that they can try to make some money instead of just sitting idle waiting for the rebuild to begin, because it really hasn't. And so they were doing this, and they were promoting themselves at some point as the world's first pop-up mall or something. Well, there's one in London, or Brighton, I think it is, actually, called Box something, Box Mall or whatever it is. I can't remember. And the owners of that are threatening to sue the people in Christchurch for theft of intellectual property because they came up with this idea and they say that the people in Christchurch stole it. Now, I would be embarrassed to be from to have anything to do with that company to do that, to sue the people of Christchurch who are trying to recover from an earthquake because they got their panties in a twist over the fact that the people in Christchurch said that theirs was the first pop-up mall, which, of course, is now gone from all of their website and materials and all that sort of stuff. So I just thought that was really despicable. And actually, in other Christchurch news, it was announced today that the cathedral is going to be partially demolished as part of its rebuild. I don't know any more than that at this point, but if I find an article, I probably will. I'll put a link in the show notes so you can read about it yourself. But the cathedral is one of the Christchurch icon structures, and I guess they've decided that it's not fully salvageable, and the cost of rebuilding and reinforcing it so that it would withstand another earthquake would be too great. So they'll build a new building, I presume, which is stronger and better able to withstand an earthquake, and then keep what they can of the original building. When I read an article about it earlier, one of the things they were looking at was keeping one of the facades, but I don't know which one because I don't know the direction it faces, so it meant nothing to me. It would have been helpful if the article had said which end it was or something, but anyway. So, sorry to go back to news, but I forgot about that before and I wanted to mention it. I suppose that there should be a lot of things I could tell you about or should tell you about or whatever, but unfortunately I can't think of them. Because my mind is elsewhere, really, because I'm thinking about all these other things I've got to get done yet today. So I'm going to have to hold off on those until the next one. But I've started something that I think is going to help with all of this. I'm calling them production notes because I don't know what else to call them. It's a list, basically, of things that I want to bring up in various episodes. And I actually started that with the last one and continued it with this one. And it hopefully will help me remember things I want to talk about, or at least things I think I might want to talk about. It's a bit like Auntie Vera does before an episode, writing down things to talk about and so on, except that I'm just not quite that structured. It's basically so I don't forget anything that I want to talk about. I don't sit and try to form a fully structured show, as well you know. But one of the reasons I bring that up is because I have notes here to give shout-outs to two people. First of all, George in Atlanta for sending me a note about the last episode by Google Plus. Thank you, George. And also to Gary in New Mexico, who sent me a message over Twitter. Now, I'm not reading those because I'm not really sure what the protocol is, if they're considered public, if they're put there, what, I don't know. Because the message on Google Plus was sent to me. But I wanted to acknowledge that, and because they're both participants in this podcasting community, I wanted to make sure I recognize that and publicly thank them for their feedback, because I do appreciate it. I also got a, what was it? It was a tweet, I think, from RT Cruiser in Australia about the Rugby World Cup, and specifically it was about the haka. And I actually think it was kind of a shallow article, as is often the case with sports writers and Australian sports writers in particular. And so I'm not going to comment in any great detail about it, especially because it's really a topic unto itself, the cultural relevance of the haka and some of the overseas reaction to it. And I'm going to save that for another episode when I'm feeling more focused and more serious than I am at the moment. So that I'm putting on hold. So I will be back sometime next week. I don't know when precisely, because next week is my busy work week, and it may be towards the end of the week. Who knows? I just don't know. And of course, we may be doing the Third Colony on farpointradio.com on Sunday, our time, which is Saturday at 9 p.m. in the Americas. I actually have no idea what time it is in New Zealand. I've got to find out when the clocks change in the U.S. of A. So I may talk to you over the weekend, or it will be sometime next week. Nice and specific, eh? Have a great weekend, everybody, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye.
You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Amrens Podcast at amrenspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at amrenspodcast.com, or you can ring my U.S. comment line on 206-666-5172. This podcast is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.